place
you
upon
didn't give me anything for Valentine's. You don't love me.
Exactly.
Where are my chocolates? It's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. That one sounds real personal. Dominic has a story. We're listening. That one really touched you. Tell us. We're listening. Tell us.
So you may see that we're in a different setting than our usual studio. Why? Life happens. So let's just leave it at that. We'll be back. We'll be back in our usual studio as soon
life
as
three.
Life is possible. Always happening two. To that studio. Yeah.
We'll be back in our studio as soon as possible. But until then, we're in our lovely dining room. So if there's a little bit more of an echo than usual, bear with us. To our regular listeners, thank you for joining us back out of POV. We like having you here. What did I say?
We like
la la la.
And to our regular listeners, thank you very much for joining us. We love having you here. If you're new here, we hope you like what you hear. And if you do, consider subscribing to our channel. We are hoping to get to 5K before when?
End of this year.
End of the year.
Before.
That's long. But okay, fine. 2024, 5K.
That's a low bar.
It's fine.
No.
You've spoken it now. And I will. Our very low bar for 2024.
As per public.
Well, what did that MC say in our apprenticeship? Under promise, over deliver.
Under promise, over deliver. Okay, okay. Right. So we're gonna delve straight in then in today's conversation regarding love. Is love unconditional? Should love be unconditional? Okay, it's gonna get tested. Let's have a look. So, Pronik Fatsane, I'm not gonna dilly dally any longer. Let's go through to the big question: is love unconditional?
Oh, okay. What do we mean by unconditional?
Unconditional.
Yeah, I mean,
the word is
yeah, unconditional.
Regardless of what you do to me, how you treat me. Regardless of worldly pressures, regardless of whatever the world throws at you, your love will still stand for that person.
I think love should not be unconditional, and love is not unconditional, no.
Okay. Why?
Well, okay. This surprised myself as well, right? Because obviously I would have been like, no, love is not. You love someone regardless and things like that. And to an extent, I would agree with that. Mm. This is why I was asking to say that, what do we mean by unconditional? Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we'd have to define that and see in what context are we applying the word unconditional. But looking at it from, let's say, again, a guy meets a girl, you know, they fall in love. It's almost like there's an unwritten contract that you're entering in. You know, it's almost like, you know, there's something that you like about that person and there's something that they like about you. But that's not the final phase of things, especially if you are looking to share a life together, you know, do things together. And also looking, okay, let me start here. I hadn't started.
Okay.
The big question I had to ask myself.
That was the back of the book, the blurb.
The big question I had to ask myself was, is God's love for humankind unconditional?
And what answer did you get to?
Okay, yeah.
And the answer I got was, no, it's not.
Okay. Right?
Based on the fact that if you love me, follow my decrees. There's a condition. There's a what you must do. Yeah. And the fact that God is saying that
if you love me, follow my decrees.
Yeah. If you love me, follow my commandments or do whatever. Do follow my teachings. Do this.
But that's about us loving God.
Okay. What I'm trying to
use another one about God loving us.
Okay. The simple matter of the fact is that there are those people that are going to hell that have not made the cut of God's flock. Those that are not sheep. Those that are not goats. And God does not love those people.
So those that are not goats.
Those that are not sheep, those who are goats.
Okay, okay,
yeah?
Fine.
Yeah, and God does not love those people. Yeah? So, I might trip myself up again here. But yeah, that's my starting.
For the people that God loves, the sheep, is that love unconditional?
No, because for the ones that God loves, they also have to love him. They also they have to worship him in spirit and in truth. They have to be in him. They have to be baptized in the spirit and water. They, you know, it's not just, okay, I love you, unconditionally do it. And they also have to live a certain life. If it was the fact that, okay, I love you unconditionally, I don't need anything from you, I don't want anything from you, then technically he gets us all right. Technically, gays, homosexuals, all these, technically you can be whatever you want to be, God still loves you, you're going to be saved. But the fact that it's not the case. The fact that there's a hell and people are getting burnt, it means that there are those that God is not pleased with. Now, we can get into deep doctrine and whatnot, so let's not, you know, you understand me. But then, if we are looking around the surface level, there's a condition there. Mm-hmm. I love you, you are my child, but it says, I saw no whoremongers there. That's Revelation. I saw no...
No what?
Whoremongers, sorry. I saw no prostitutes, I saw no liars.
What are whoremongers?
Like, it's a word. I'm sure it's a word.
What are whoremongers?
No, no.
What didn't you ask me? I thought after all, we don't know what whoremongers are.
It's a word in the King James Version of the Bible. Don't quote me.
Whoremongers.
Don't quote me. But I'm positive on that. In the King James Version, you will see it. But please don't quote
me. Do you think maybe it was two words and you've turned them into one? Maybe it's
I don't know. I don't think so. Are you going to cut this? Because I can check quickly.
No.
Okay, anyway, my point is... Yeah, my point is... we have a list of those that unfortunately do not make the cut for God, right? So that's my starting place, right? Because we know that God is the definition of love and so on and so forth. So if we take it to relationships now, yeah? That's why I was saying that it's almost like we enter a certain, a same sort of like agreement. You know, if I love you and you love me, you know that, let's say, for example, you know that I don't, again, it's a simple example, but you know that I don't like, let's say, for example, cold water. You know, and you're bringing me in cold water all the time. You're not going to do that. You see what I mean?
Well, okay, I'll come to that. Fatsani, what do you think? What do you have to say? I'll come to that example in a minute.
I think it could be relationship.
Forget the example. Don't come back to the example.
I don't know. I struggled with this one a little bit because relationships are different. So I guess maybe I've grown up to believe, for example, that a parent's love is unconditional. They sort of have no choice but to love you. They might not agree with what you're doing or the choices you're making or the lifestyle you've chosen to lead, but as your parents, they will still love you because you're still their child. So is a parent's love unconditional? I think it should be. Is it? I don't know, but I think it should be.
So you're saying a parent's love should be unconditional?
Yeah, that goes back to my point of saying you might not agree with what your child's doing, their lifestyle, they're living, this, that, and the other, but isn't it innate that a parent loves a child?
Maybe.
I'd have to think.
What the society told us, is that what it should be?
I would have to think of something like what would I have to do to really disappoint my parents to the point where they say we love you no more?
Well, I mean, I think children disappoint their parents all the time. I don't think disappointing your parent is a measure on how much they love you. But I guess what you're saying is saying what would I have to do for my parents to no longer love me?
You've literally quoted me verbatim.
No, said to disappoint my parents to the point where they say they no longer love me.
Yes, that's. What I was saying is that you've just rephrased it.
No, okay, fine. Because my point,
it was still a case of to what extent would I have to go for them to make the decision that where you are at right now or what you have done or who you have become or what you have become is so far that we cannot love you as our child.
And you can't think of anything.
I don't know.
You can, yeah. Right. And this is why this is an interesting topic because I'm now questioning that statement that a parent's love should be unconditional. Let's not forget, this is taken from a believer's point of view, right? Now, as a believer, first and foremost, God is always going to be the measurements for everything and anything, right? He said, I've come to divide mother from father, father from child, paraphrased, the word of God. So if you ask me, you know, what would a child have to do for a parent to be like, you know what, you came from my womb, but, you know, go forth and do you, mm-hmm. it would have to be, it would have to align, or it'd have to be, it could be in the context of, let's say, them turning against
the word of God.
The word of God.
Okay. No, I can't disagree with that.
So in that case, again, to put it in a practical example, you know, God forbid, but let's say you are a die-hard believer, you know, given everything to you to the Lord, your child ends up gay. You know, your child ends up coming to you, papi,
you know,
mama.
Let me hold on. I know I will let you finish your point. I just want us on this podcast also be very mindful that being gay is not the only sin. I don't want us to build a narrative that we our circle of this is not acceptable is just being gay, because every sin is equal. It's just a point I've noted. No, yeah, every sin is equal to another. So yes, I get it, but I could be a thief. That's also not acceptable in the sight of God. Yes, being gay is one that we... So I just want us to be mindful that we're not purposely putting out a... Because we're not homophobic, but we don't want to come across like we're purposely putting out a homophobic message, because being gay isn't the only sin in the Bible. Okay. When it comes to talking about sin, we seem to put homosexuality as the... We've hierarchied homosexuality as the greatest
and
sin.
And I want to address that. I want to address that. And biblically...
Because it's one of the few things that people take pride in.
Yeah,
maybe it's one could argue.
I don't know, but okay. The thing is that biblically, from my understanding of the Bible, there is such a language of too much, even for God, cup of iniquity. You know, a certain level where you exceed, and in the two or three circumstances I'm thinking of biblically that has been expressed, God has used that to show this is too much, right? In Romans chapter 1, it talks about a state of the world that has forsaken God. And I don't know if, I don't know how well you remember it, but when I was reading again, I was so shook in the sense that it even mentions not only man on man, but women on women, and also bestiality as well, I think is what they call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's something that shows, yes, humankind are wicked, but then this is just too much. And that comes in there. So it's a measurement of too far gone, you know, in my understanding. And so when trying to talk about sin, I don't want to go too much in there. It's a quick measure to address sin. I agree with you. That's why I said half agree. We can talk about sinners, liars. The example, the verse I was referring to in Revelation talks about liars as well. You know,
I get that. Yeah. I was just saying that we just have to be, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. My point was just, every time we have a conversation, our measuring point of sin is always homosexuality. We don't mention any other sin. I just want us to be mindful that it's not like we're targeting that demographic, or...
We are not targeting as a group, but in what I'm saying, I am being specific. I am being purposeful in saying that a parent, in my opinion, would not cut out their child, or would not stop loving their child because they lied, for example. Yeah.
What if it becomes persistent lying? Lying to the point where it's causing actual
issues
havoc.
In the end, then yes, then that would qualify. Whereas with homosexual, there's no dipstick. Whereas with transgender, there's no dipstick. You see what I mean?
Okay.
So
let's circle back to...
Yes.
So who was speaking and what were they saying?
I was addressing what she was saying about a parent's love being unconditional.
Oh, parent's love. Yeah, okay, fine. So you brought in the homosexuality or any other sin, I guess, let's say, that a parent could cause to... stop loving their child, for example. But then could someone say, well, that's not really biblical, because God tells us to love everybody, even our enemies. So if we're talking spiritually, let's say the child is now an enemy of their parents because of their chosen lifestyle and everything, can someone not say, well, yeah, but the Bible says we should still love our enemies?
Yes, someone can say that. And I would say that you and I need to sit down. We need to understand what the Bible actually teaches, because at the same time, the same Bible teaches us not to associate with those that are against the gospel, not to associate with those that are basically not good for us. And there's verse I'm thinking of in Corinthians, for example, if I'm not mistaken. So the point is, loving your enemies, it's a teaching of not having hate. As a believer, you're not supposed to harbor hate, grudge, displease towards anybody. That's not your business. Yeah. But then, so on the flip side, you know, so in that context, you can say, yes, they will never hate that child. to say that I hate you and, you know, no. Mm. But you can cut them off. You can, the words that the King James uses, I believe, is distance yourself from such people when he's talking in that context. So you can distance yourself from that child or from that friend, from that family in that context is what I believe.
But still continue to love them as a son.
Still continue to love them as a person.
As a person, no. Okay,
in the context of fine. Love your enemies, love everybody.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay, fine.
But then so you can wish them well, you can pray for them, you can hope. Because again, to support what Fatsani said, it just because someone has turned, you know, homosexual, whatever, it doesn't mean that they are lost. It doesn't mean they'll never come back. You can still repent. You can still come back, you know. God has got a journey for you. We can still hope and pray that your journey ends with you in the kingdom of God, you know? So you can still have those feelings. You remember Paul? Paul is saying that my heart is bleeding. My heart, my desire is for my fellow Israelites to be saved, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can still have that dying love and feeling for that child or for that person.
Okay. All right. Fair
so
enough.
Then that makes it unconditional.
Well, maybe let me bring in another aspect then, because someone made a point to say that the Bible does talk about different kinds of love.
Yeah.
Right? So would it be fair to say that maybe some kind of love is unconditional, but some kind of love is not unconditional? So for example, I think Fatsani made a good point when you brought in the parent-child relationship and type of love. Mm. None of us are parents here, so we don't know. So perhaps maybe it's something that we need to ask a parent of a very wayward child or something. But yeah, someone was. So I guess the point that the person was making was to say things like parent, things like maybe brother, sister, and stuff can be and probably should be unconditional. Mm. However, things like romantic love and let's say friendship love and stuff like that, maybe that is not unconditional.
Is that because of the lack of choice in those relationships?
It could be an aspect.
That's the two things that separate from me. You know, you don't really choose your parents, and the parents don't really choose their child. Whatever is born, that's your child. Mm. Siblings, the same. Whatever comes out next after you, oh, apparently you're my brother. So there isn't really much choice in that. So I'm guessing, is it the choice in the other relationships that allows them to be not unconditional? Because I don't know if I would say romantic relationships should be unconditional. I don't think they should be unconditional.
Why not? Because you love somebody until they stop cooking for you.
Like Pronik said, it's almost like you've entered some kind of contract with that person, and there's an agreed of understanding of this is what I expect from you and this is what you expect from me, and vice versa. And when certain things start happening, it's not a picture of love, is it? There's certain things that you might do to somebody that are not a picture of love. If you start hitting me, I'm not gonna just be like, okay, I'm gonna put up with this because I love you unconditionally. That's exactly what people do.
I guess I might still
love you and walk away. That's also a possibility. I still love you, but I walk away because of safety and all that jazz. Or those actions might make me stop loving you because what you're portraying to me isn't love.
Okay. So what are you saying? That romantic love should be or shouldn't be unconditional?
I think it should be unconditional, but because of where we are, it's not. I'm making no sense.
Yeah. That,
Come back to me.
That's interesting. Okay. So Pronik, what are you saying? Romantic love, conditional, unconditional?
To be honest with you, like I said, I'm exploring a new thought here. I think romantic love and other loves, I think they are conditional. Yeah, I believe they are conditional. You always like to say that love is not a feeling. Yeah, okay, yes it is, but there's more to that than just a feeling. It's a doing word and so on and so forth. Now yes, we can debate on the different kind of love. For example, we're talking about siblings under normal circumstances. That kind of love is different to a romantic kind of love. Mm-hmm. You know, I am forced to agree with that to an extent because there's just something that God put in place that when you share a womb with somebody or when you've come from the same womb with somebody, you know, you've been brought, all things being equal, you've been brought up in the same, let's say, environment. This is your sister, look after them. Even if you disagree with their life choices, even if you have to end up distancing yourself from them, there is always going to be that thing in you that, you know,
tethered,
it's like,
you to them.
They are my sister. Yeah. Mm. They are my sibling. You know, now I don't think that will ever go away. Even if you turn it spiritual. Yeah. Even if your sibling, for example, has decided, I'm going to go worship the devil. Yeah. Clear cut. You know, I'm going to do vice versa to what you're doing. Mm. Yeah. Let's go to war. You and your Jesus, me, I'm a devil. Even if they decide to do that inwardly. And again, referring back to Paul, this is why Paul is bleeding for these people.
Yeah, okay.
So I feel enough, like inwardly, you still always have that. So if we are calling that the unconditional part, then fine, I agree.
Mm.
Yeah, it would be unconditional. However, if we are dwelling on the fact that love is more than the feeling that you feel when you see somebody, the melting, the butterflies, you know, the nice music and the summer smell.
You're talking about romantic love now.
Yes, romantic love, you know, and the
you're
sibling.
Getting that with your sibling. I don't know about it. I don't know about
well,
it.
As Adam's children, they'll tell you differently. You know, and with your siblings, if you're talking about, you know, love is you getting along, you know, having dinners together, families together, you know, you can distance yourself from that. You can make a conscious decision to say that, I'm sorry, but the way you've chosen to live your life does not align with how I've chosen to live my life. You see? So you can say that you will always be my sister. If something happens and you need me, I'll be there for you. But you and I cannot be quote unquote friends. You know?
Can't coexist in the same
space. We cannot coexist in the same space.
Okay, so just to clarify, in what you're saying there, you're saying that in that situation, the love is unconditional because she's still your sister.
Yes.
But then obviously, I guess the expression of that love will look different depending on circumstances.
Yes.
And you know, differences and whatnot.
100%.
But the love is, okay. So
that's why I started by saying that if possible, can we define what this unconditional love looks like?
You define it.
You see?
Because you're the one expressing the thought, so you define it.
Well, I'm saying it's conditional.
And I guess for clarity, I want to say that I'm okay exploring all different types of love, but ultimately it's the romantic type of love
that we want
to understand.
So let's dwell on that.
So I'm okay exploring different types of love to sort of compare and contrast how they compare and contrast with romantic love. That's absolutely fine. Okay, fine. So unconditional then. Let's go unconditional. Okay. So you're saying it's conditional.
So I'm saying it's conditional. And I want to
why are you
picture.
Saying it's conditional? What does unconditional look like to you? And why is that not suitable when it comes to romantic love?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. Fine. Unconditional, from what I understand at the moment, is basically what Fasani touched on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what happens. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You are my person.
Mm.
Okay? Now,
you're my soulmate.
You are my soulmate. Yeah? Now, let's go to the extreme for the purpose of the example.
Mm-hmm.
They start beating you. They start cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
They start abusing you. You are still there because you love them unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I have a problem with that. You see? So that's why I'm saying that love is conditional.
Why do you have a problem with that?
Because that's not love. Because this person that is now doing that to you, they don't love you.
Yeah,
that's
not an expression. It's not about them. Love. It's about you.
So you as well. The thing is that if you are telling somebody you love them, there is something that you are getting from them. You love something about them.
So you're saying love is transactional?
It's a transaction, unfortunately. If I put it blankly, it is a transaction.
So your statement, if you're saying you love someone, it's because there's something you love about them.
Yes. So we can go into details, but what it is that now let me talk about a situation where it would be unconditional, yeah? From a believer's point of view, okay? All things being equal, this is a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman of God, yeah? They believe in God. This man has got his head as Christ, yeah? She has him as the head. He is leading her down the right path. They will have disagreements, but he has the best interest at heart for her because he is taking his lead from Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a situation where he will never beat her. He will never cheat on her. He will never abuse her. He will never diminish her, mm-hmm. you know. They will see things differently and they will have to sort out certain issues. But all in all, this is what a believer's home should look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me that love is unconditional in that circumstances, I'll say, okay, fine. I understand where you're coming from. Because these two, they are not out there to hurt each other. You know, they are there to make each other happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And technically, by doing that, they are meeting the conditional part of it. And that's why they are together. Does that make sense?
I think the issue is, okay, maybe the question was the wrong question because
so I think his answer with the perfect couple, love is unconditional.
But then it's not, because even in that example, he's putting conditions on it. So
it's unconditional because the conditions are being met. So you're saying,
but then this is why I said that maybe the question I asked was a bit unfair because you're saying love is not conditional.
Mm.
So I asked you to give me an example of what unconditional looks like. So maybe you can't do that because in your head, love is not unconditional.
I can attempt. That's what I was about to do now.
Well, with that example, you said, let me give you an example where love is unconditional. But then mm-hmm. from what you're telling me, it's not a conditional because in that perfect home, if the man starts cheating, you're saying, now, the woman has every right to turn around and say, I no longer love you. Because now the condition of which the man was meeting is now no longer, he's now no longer meeting.
Yes.
So therefore,
however, yes.
It's
100%, yes.
Because the people who stand on unconditional love will tell you, no, no. And I guess maybe this is the next question I want you guys to think about. If, before I move on, Fatani, are you saying romantic love? Is it unconditional or conditional? You said conditional, right?
Conditional.
You said conditional. Okay. So then I want you guys to tackle this for me. Love is conditional.
Mm.
Let's say I don't disagree. Let's say we're on the same page. But then how do we balance conditional with I love you despite your flaws?
Okay. Let me jump on that. I want to go back to the last thing you've just said there. The guy cheating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is one of the attributes of love? Patience and perseverance, mm-hmm. forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? So it's not that you've started cheating, I'm out of the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that, again, extreme, you started being beaten on, I'm out of the door.
Mm.
It's not that you started doing this, I'm out of the door. No. Yeah. There are those, and that's why I'm saying that there are those attributes that you might have to exercise
mm-hmm.
before you can get to the place of, you know what, this environment is now no longer safe for me. I've done my best. And that's why love will always be conditional based on that. And that's why Fatani's favorite thing is to quote those attributes that the Bible gives us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is patience. Love is long suffering. Love is this. Love is this. If both of you are doing that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's a loving home there.
But even those, and you even, need even those that,
attributes,
even that list,
life does that.
Even that list is the conditions of love, isn't it? When you're practicing all
so
those
conditions
things.
Conditions or characteristics?
Characteristics. Right? I'll be more safe to say characteristics.
Characteristics, but then you've got to put those into practice, haven't you? They're characteristics, but you have so they're not just there to be read. You have to put them into practice.
Yeah. So
if somebody is not like, being kind, if you're not being kind, are you really being loving?
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, okay. It might be a side note. I don't know. Maybe after that question, I'll find out. So, with the characteristics of love then, do you love and you express the characteristics or do you express the characteristics and thereby learn and get into love? Does the question make sense?
The characteristics come first. You show those characteristics to show that you love. You don't love and then do the... Because you can't have the end product of love without the characteristics. That's why the verse says love is... So love is those things. You can't start with love and then start doing those things because that doesn't exist without these things producing the end product, which is love.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Because you can't have love there just sat empty. Mm. Love is because all those things are in it.
Fair enough. I guess it could work either way then, couldn't it? Because maybe not. Okay. Side note. I think maybe that's another question I need to formulate properly. Okay. All right. That's fine. So flaws, question of flaws. Yeah. Yes. So how do you balance love and saying, because I think we all can agree with the statement, you can love someone despite
their flaws,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then, is it a matter of maybe
but then
quantity or how much? It's like, okay, fine, you can have your flaws, but you know, one is a flaw, second time is a flaw, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now it's just like, okay, well, this is now a characteristic maybe.
Mm.
Therefore, you're no longer deserving of my love. Or how do we balance that?
I guess it depends what people mean by flaws, because I think flaws can be different things. Some things are real, well, in my opinion anyway, somebody's definition of a flaw could be you snore.
Mm.
So, but I love you despite the fact that you snore.
Okay, well, I mean, I like to think we're a highbrow podcast, so let's focus on the legitimate things, not on the silly things that people get divorced over. You know, I'm divorcing him because he doesn't put his socks in the laundry.
Mm.
You know, let's focus on the things that would actually matter. So for example, let's say an addict, for example, yeah, someone is an addict. Let's say alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, yeah.
Mm.
And an addict is an addict. So maybe they're trying to get clean, but as an addict, they relapse.
Mm.
And when they do, obviously, it's the home is an undesirable place to be in.
Mm.
Is that I love him despite the fact that he's an addict?
Mm.
Or is it, well, my conditions of my love are no longer being met, therefore, deuces. See ya.
Mm.
Right. Could I throw in a question before we answer that?
Mm.
Because I think what I'm struggling with is, does love being unconditional mean that in a romantic relationship, you have to stay?
Does love being unconditional?
Yeah, mean that you have to stay. So, for example, your addict example.
Mm.
I love him, therefore, I'm staying because I love him. Yes, he's got his flaws, he's an addict, yada, yada, yada. But could you also not be in a position where you still love that person, but because of the impact maybe their behavior is having on your children and yourself and your spiritual life and your family and your home, you still love that person because of everything that they are, but because of that
this thing,
you still choose to walk away. So even, let's say, biblically, the one time where we're told a marriage can end,
mm-hmm.
cheating, the Bible's very clear on that. You've got mm-hmm. a choice to stay, you've got a choice to leave. You could still love that person after you've left. It's just that their actions that they took were not desirable to you. Doesn't mean that that person doesn't, it doesn't mean that ends the love. Does that make sense?
It does make sense in that it's a sentence that makes sense. However, no. The reason I'm saying that is because I've never been sure about this concept
me too.
I love him. You know, sometimes I love him. That is why we can't stay together.
It's not the same sentiment. I think those are two different things.
It is the same sentiment in that you can love someone
from afar,
but be apart from them. Yeah, in essence, you can love someone from afar. It's the same concept. And I've never really been sure about it, to be honest with you.
Because I love you is why I'm leaving. That's different to the point I'm making. Because I think that's saying, when people use that, it's like, our love is so strong, it's so perfect, but it just won't work because of that. That's what I understand when people say, oh, I'm leaving because I love you. Because if you love somebody, you're technically not going to leave.
No. Okay, so in the situation you gave, their kids, yeah? That one I can understand. So let's remove the kids, for example, yeah? Let's say it's just you two, yeah? Mm-hmm. Is there a situation where you'd say, I still love you, but because of this thing that you're doing and the impact it's having on, I'm going to have to, let's say, remove myself from the home. I get that. I understand that. But then when you're removing yourself from home, because of that love for the person, are you not trying to reconcile the situation? Are you not trying to maybe, okay, you know what? Let's get you help. But in the meantime, I can't stay in this house because of A, B, C, D or whatever. Mm. Let's get you help.
No, but you've added the help bit. I didn't add the help bit. I'm saying this person is leaving for good.
But then that's what doesn't sit right with me. Because if you love someone, you're going to do everything that you can to be with that person. If it means removing yourself for a time because of impact, whatever, I get that action. But for me, I see it as your end goal is to be with that person. So you're always trying to find a way to be with that person because of the love you have for them. Saying, I love you, but because of A, B, C, D, this just won't gonna work. I'm gonna separate myself and that's it. But I still love you. I don't know. I've never been in the situation, so I can't say it's not, it doesn't exist, but it just, as a concept, doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't.
Right. Can I bring it back to the question then? Do your flaws question, right? Here's something else that we've always said, which is biblically proven, as far as I'm concerned, is that the Bible talks to you, right? Mm-hmm. So when mm-hmm. the Bible is saying that love is patient, it's not asking you to look at the other person and question whether they've been patient with you. It's asking you to be patient with that person. Mm-hmm. Right? So in that situation, do your flaws, yes, it is possible, especially if it's a flaw that's developed after you met them already. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Then you're being called to exercise those things that you profess in that person. And for me,
What if it's a flaw that was there before you met?
You knew about it. So don't be shocked, for stars. I'm a big person. I'm number one in that. I lived that. So, you know, for stars, you can't be shocked. But you can still exercise love until you decide, you know what, it's not working out. Yeah? There's a point I wanted to say. I'm not going to blame you. It's just, it was a quick fire point. So it's left my brain and gone out.
Okay. All right. So while you're catching that then, ponder this statement that I found interesting. So someone said, from my perspective, love can be unconditional, but the same cannot be said for commitment. So they're saying love can be unconditional, but commitment can be conditional.
But isn't that the point I've been making about the example I just gave? Wouldn't that fit into that?
No, because you're not committed in the situation. What are you committed to? Because you've left the person.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying. So love can be conditional, but commitment is unconditional.
Right.
So
okay,
that's the point
I'm
making.
Isn't
that the point I'm making?
I see what you mean.
I still love you, but I'm not in a position to commit to you because of A, B, C, D, E, F, and Z. I still love you.
But I feel like in that sense, that love is going to die eventually because unless if you are what coach is saying, in the sense that you're going to work on it, what you're looking at is Mary's there, Joseph is there, until kingdom come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So eventually it is going to die. I watch a lot of Korean dramas and according to them, it is possible for you to love somebody for 3, 4, 5 lifetimes. So unless if it's one of them ones where, okay, you know what? This is the only person I'm going to love, my soulmate, whether I'm with him or not, I'm never going to be with another person again. Unless we're expressing that, fine. But as long as you're going to meet somebody else and move on, technically you'd have to argue that love has eventually
And that was going to that was going to be my next question, because romantically, can you unconditionally love more than one person? Because examples like that, let's say you were married, something happened in the relationship, you've had to either get a divorce or leave for whatever reason, you marry somebody else, then you love them the same way you love the other person. Can you unconditionally love more than one person romantically?
I don't believe so. Going based on the love life that I've lived, all right, in the sense that this is now purely just on my feelings and experience, loving somebody takes your whole being, you know? You are sharing feelings. You know, you are sharing a lot. You know, I find it difficult to say that you can share that with multiple people. You see, and that's why I'm saying that in that situation, it is eventually going to die. By the time you are moving on to somebody else, you no longer have that attachment to that person. So you no longer hold them. They no longer have that space in your heart. Does that make sense? Sometimes you ask people, you know,
they might have a corner. I'm just here.
Even that corner eventually is gonna die. I mean, we've all been with multiple people here before you settle down. So, for example, you know, if you think about
talk about yourself. I'm kidding.
I have. If I think about my, let's say, my high school crush or my high school girlfriend, for example, who at the time I felt like I loved. Right now, if I sit and close my eyes, there's not a single room in my heart for them. You know, and yet if you take me back to that time, I could have sworn everybody knows about Becky here. Like, I felt like this was my ride or die.
You're about to cry just talking about it. You're saying there's no space in your heart. No,
but claiming to love someone doesn't necessarily mean that you do, though, them, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah, but then we are going based on, in this example, we're going based on the assumption that they were together, something happened, and they've separated. So we are going based on the fact that she is claiming or he is claiming they love the other person, but they can't live together. So that's what I'm. That's where I'm coming from, just to explore that a little bit, to say that in that case, eventually it is going to die. Again, just to go back on that thing, just to finish off on the flaws bit, you know, what I wanted to say was the fact that it works in the, because it works, actually it works even more because love is conditional. So you are choosing to, for example, to be patient with somebody.
Right, okay.
Yeah, does that make sense?
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, and here's the thing, again, just to go back on something that you were saying, I don't know if I differ with you guys on this, but for me, I've always said that love, first and foremost, is a feeling, yeah? You get a strong feeling attracted to somebody, but then that comes with doing stuff. That, I think for me, that's what differentiates between infatuation, lust.
So are you saying attraction is a feeling, or are you saying love is a feeling?
They're all feelings. You know, it's a feeling of love. But then that then comes with need to do. That's the conditional part. So that's the part where you have to exercise something. You know, and that's why, for example, if coach does something, for example, I'm a lot more forgiving versus if somebody does.
Who's coach?
He's my brother.
that's his name. He's gone for me. It's fine. I don't hate it.
You know,
he kept saying, "I was like, who's coach? Like, who's coach?"
So, because he's my brother, you know, I have that patience. Does that make sense? It's he has a window to my heart, so I can be a little bit more lax with a lot of things versus Fred doing it. Fred does it, he's gonna get a quick punch straight away. You see, so. In that case, I'm exercising that condition. He can offend me to a certain level. I'm choosing to be like, you know what? That's fine because of that love. And that's what we exercise with romantic partners. Does that make sense? Yeah, so in that case, it is a lot to do with conditions. And this is why I side with God. You know, and again, this is the first.
I mean, would be worried if you didn't side with God.
No, started with God.
Well, I heard this is why I side with God.
Side.
Yeah, as in this is why I take God's side.
Oh, no, this is why I started with God. Because I don't know about you two, but I have up until, I guess, recently, believed that love is unconditional. And especially when you look at it from the God's point of view, you think it's unconditional. But if we dig deep in scripture, it's really not. Mm-hmm. It's really not. Because, last example, men are going to come in my name and be like, Lord, we did this in your name. He's gonna. What is he going to say to them? Depart from me, you evildoers. Why? They never met the quota. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Again, speaking on surface.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to come to conclusions.
But then when God says stuff like, I've loved you with an everlasting love, where are the conditions in that?
He's talking about his sheep. And if you look at his sheep, you will see the condition in that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, yeah, it is one of those things. And I think amongst the Christendom, it's probably something that's added that people don't really think about. Because, of course, God's love is unconditional. Yeah, of course, God's love is unconditional. And I don't know what they have in mind when they say that. But you're right. When question. You go in scripture, it's riddled with conditions. Yeah. It's riddled. Both the Old and the New
and
Covenant,
are
literally conditions.
Yeah.
The difference is he knew we could never meet those conditions. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, that's fine. I'll meet the conditions myself.
I'll create an environment where you can meet those conditions properly.
It's same thing, but I would say that he knew could never meet the conditions, so he decided, okay, I'll meet the conditions myself on their behalf. Isn't that what the whole gospel is?
It is 100%.
So 100%. It's not that he's removing the conditions, like no more conditions. No, he's like, okay, that's fine. These people will never meet the conditions, therefore I have to meet them
the conditions
on their behalf. But and the conditions that, still exist.
And those that are in him will display certain characteristics that shows that the condition that Christ made has fallen upon their head. Grace.
Yes. being transformed to the likeness.
I'm just trying to run away from what many Christians believe, which is we can live anyhow we want. You know?
There's nothing
required of me to do. Sorry, you're not reading the right Bible.
Yeah.
You know, what does Paul say? Last example, run the race of endurance.
Yes, yeah, definitely. That's it.
I've run the good race. I fought the good fight.
There you go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. All right. Fine. So then, from that, then I'm understanding that offbeat POV, you guys are saying love is not unconditional.
Mm. Yep.
It actually is quite conditional, mm. right? Which I would 100% agree with. Mm. I think it's important to note to say that I think what differentiates a pure true love to maybe, let's say, a worldly love is maybe the conditions that are being placed upon that are being placed upon that love.
You didn't get me anything for Valentine's. You don't love me.
Exactly.
Where are my chocolates? It's my birthday. You didn't say happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that one sounds real personal. Panic has a story. We're listening.
You know what I mean?
That one really touched you. Tell us. We're listening. Tell us.
The women are peeking it.
Right. So it's definitely dependent on the conditions that are placed on that. And I think you guys made an important point to say that love is, it is interesting that it describes it as patience, long suffering, mm. you know, believes all things, trusts all things, you know, never ending. Because it kind of shows you that actually, I'm not saying that it's like, you know what people say, when you love someone, everything is honky-dory, music land and everything else. As soon as anything comes that disturbs that picture perfect, I have fallen out of love, or it's no longer love, no. But no, that's not the picture of love that the Bible gives. But yeah, no, I completely agree.
The characteristics of love exist because God knows that we're humans. We're going to poke each other. We're going to inflict harm and pain onto each other because that's just the nature of our being and the nature that sin brought into it. So we wouldn't have to be instructed to be patient and long-suffering if God didn't know that we're going to need those attributes.
And
because
that's
what
he had to demonstrate as well, himself.
There will be some more situations than not where you have to exercise those things.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, fair
it
enough.
It doesn't say love is loving. That'd be simple. Love is loving. You have to be loving. Like, what does that mean?
You haven't said anything.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So, offbeat POV is saying love is conditional. Do you guys want to look at the camera and say, hi, I'm Fatsani, and I'm saying love is conditional. The camera is there.
Hi, I'm Fatsani, and I'm saying love is conditional.
Brody?
Well, I'm joking. Yeah, I'm also... Hi,
hey.
I'm Professor Kate, and I am saying that love is conditional. In fact, if you claim you love somebody, God will make sure he tests you. Can I quote a movie in closing?
Hey.
Evans Almighty.
Is it Evans Almighty?
This is
what I'm saying. When you grow up together, you think alike. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Of course, you're going to call Almighty.
Well, you go don't for know? It. You haven't called?
For the pagans that don't know, you can explain.
Wow.
For the heathens.
I don't remember correctly, actually. Something to do with when you pray for faith or courage and things like that, does God give you faith, courage, and whatnot, or does he give you situations where you need to demonstrate faith, love, courage, kindness, you know? So if you claim you love somebody, best believe God is going to give you situations that you're going to have to demonstrate that you love somebody, just like faith.
Yeah,
you know, faith without works is dead.
Until you're put in a situation where you have to, and this is, I think, where Christianity gets misquoted or gets misrepresented. Or people don't understand, because things like faith, it's not faith until you have to prove faith.
100%.
When you're walking every single day and things are hunky-dory, that's great.
It's
you can profess all the faith you want. But when you come to a situation where you need to exercise your faith, that's where faith really and truly comes in.
How much faith you have.
And I failed massively on that. Like, the other day I caught myself talking to God, why am I broke? I was like, hold on. Where's my faith? I started reading my Bible a lot more past 2 weeks.
Right,
hoping the next time you turn a page, there'll be a tenner.
A tenner? That won't do nothing. That's a subway at best. I need 3 geez. Extra zeros on top of that.
You know what? The problem with that sentence is the tenner, his reply, that's a subway at best.
Because it's a small, because you see a small amount of money, well, what can I do? I might as well.
No, it's
eat.
A subway at best.
Literally.
God is like.
No, you know what I mean? No, at least it's £10 less from what I owe.
Subway at best.
That's an insult.
That's a foot long as well.
No, 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 no. That's 6 inch. You know, they've gone up in prices.
No, £10. Nah. Full long is still less than £10.
No.
A full long is still less than £10.
When was last you had a full long?
Maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Oh, a full long is not £11.
Hold on. It's a meal I'm thinking of.
No way. Full long is £11. There would be protests outside somewhere. That's insane.
Anyway,
okay, okay, ladies and gents, thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Offbeat POV. We hope you enjoyed the conversation, and let us know, what do you think? Is love unconditional or is it conditional? Do you agree with our reasonings and our thoughts and everything else? Like Pronik alluded to, you can go a lot deeper, especially scripturally as well. You can go a lot deeper in terms of I guess the story of the Bible, God's love for the people and whatnot, and Israelites breaking the covenant and everything else, and how he's the one meeting his own conditions and stuff like that. There's a lot, right? So if nothing else, we're hoping we've inspired you to go study your Bible. Yes. Well, yeah, let's not say no more about that at the moment, but yeah, who knows?
You just go, yeah.